NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Mario Bautista looking to extend his winning streak to 5.
Oh, what a scramble. Beautiful job by Mario Bautista.
Mario Bautista!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I finally back live after the holidays. First show live of 2024.
Let's make it a good one!
Well, yeah, let's hope. And, you know, I guess we have Mario Bautista today, but I wanted to ask you, too. There's a saying today that Chandler and Connor have agreed to fight in, I believe, over the summer. I had the date right, June 29th.
Yeah.
But it's going to be at 185.
Nah, dude, that's all. Listen.
First
of all, that's not true. That's not why entertain that? They're not going to fight at 185. They're going to look like two little fat guys.
You don't think so?
Nah, that's not fucking happening. That's silly. Dude, whatever. Until there's some real news with Connor, I'm just like, whatever. You know what I mean?
I was happy for Chandler to get the fight, but 185 for Chandler, I can't say.
I think that's just hearsay. Is that
okay? It's on our prep sheet, so I don't know. I'm assuming it's got to be real if it's on our prep sheet.
No, I don't agree. But they said who agreed to that? They agreed to that, or the promotion's agreeing to it?
I mean, let me see. I don't know. I'm just going by the prep sheet, man. You know me. I believe.
McGregor is smart in a sense. He keeps his name in the headlines. So, like, he announced that on X, which is now Twitter. Twitter is now X. So, dude, I think he's just being silly.
He's already opening as the favorite. McGregor said it. Okay. Yeah, maybe they haven't.
Let's not start with silliness.
But you're right. I thought it was an odd weight to fight at. That's all.
Listen, it is an odd weight. It's so odd, it's not even happening.
All right. But,
you know, he will return because he needs that spotlight. He needs it. He needs it. Something money really can't buy.
The longer you're away, though, I mean, the harder it's got to be to come back. The longer he's away, the harder it has to be to come back.
100%. He has no reason. Listen, besides that, besides just the fame, which he has a ton of, you know, it's that feeling, though.
Sure.
At the end of the day, he is a fighter. He's going to want to – he knows there's a – unlimited time on that, but he looks like he's really just enjoying his fucking. He looks like he's just fucking having a good old time.
Yeah, he's just enjoying life.
Hey, listen, life is short, Jimmy, and so are we. I want to talk to you. Sorry. Did you see? I wanted to ask you about Aljo's grappling match.
Yeah, I did not see it.
He lost to a guard player, and it was a little controversial because the guy, now listen, and I understand Aljo's gripe with the decision. There was like, Aljo was dominating the whole time because Aljo was on top. If it was an MMA fight or round or whatever, Aljo clearly won because he's dominant. Sure. But the guy didn't care because he had a very hard guard to pass. So he's one of those guys that just kept sitting to his butt and butt scooting. And how about this? I own a jiu-jitsu school. I don't watch a ton of jiu-jitsu matches because I think they get lame. And I hate to say that because there's some I do, some I like. And I love jiu-jitsu. Look, I love jiu-jitsu. You see that?
Yes, you do.
But I think we got to hold on. My point is I love seeing it used in combat, in MMA, because that's the closest thing to street cell defense, you know? So when guys, so Aljo's point is Aljo was pulling the guy across the mat by his ankle, and there might've been one arm lock attempt by the guy that Aljo just picked him up, swung him around. So when they gave the nod to the other gentleman, I don't even know if the guy's a fighter. I don't think the guy's a fighter. I think he's just a jiu-jitsu guy. It was supposed to be Chase Hooper, which I was interested in.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that, you know? But anyway, Aljo's like, yo, man, if you're a grown-ass man or you get dragged across your pulled across the back of your ankle, you shouldn't be happy with the victory. And I pretty much agree with Aljo.
Yeah.
If you go to the guard, you got to be aggressive. And just, I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's that entertaining when guys are just flopping around.
No, but, not at all.
I think we have a guest.
Mario Batista is in the waiting room.
Mario. Sorry.
Yeah,
Jimmy, and I want to talk to you also about Sean Strickland getting very emotional on Theo Vaughn's podcast. Did you see that?
I did not.
What?
No, I didn't. I don't watch podcasts.
What the fucking times, man? I'm sorry, Mario.
All right, well, after Mario, we'll discuss it. I didn't see. Hey, Mario, how you doing?
I joined in on something right there. So.
No, Mario, what I was talking about, we could talk. You've been on before. Sure. You're comfortable with us. I was telling my buddy Jimmy, and I'm sure you've seen it. Did you see, and I'm not attacking him. I want to talk about it afterwards, but did you see Sean Strickland breaking down on Theo Vaughn podcast? Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, I just heard the audio. I didn't see the video or anything, but I heard the audio of it.
Yeah.
What was it about? Was it family stuff? I didn't see.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It was about his childhood. His childhood, about what he went through. And he was talking about how he was sleeping. Like he was, the teacher was mad at him for teaching to sleeping in class. I'm going to do a quick version of it. And the story he was telling Theo was, you know, the teacher would get me, you know, they took my desk away, he said, because they're thinking I'm some kind of like bad kid. And meanwhile, I'm staying up all night because I'm scared. So I'm sleeping on the floor. And then he just started like breaking down. Dude, I'll tell you, I was getting emotional watching it, literally. Tears in my eyes. You can't Theo Vaughn with tears in it. You can't, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You could tell there was real,
sure,
real pain there. And it's, you know what I mean? He, and I give it to him for really putting that out there, you know?
Well, that's why people like him. He's a real person. He's not a character. That's why people like Sean Strickland. He's not a character. He's a real guy. And he's not portraying something just to sell tickets. Like, that's who this guy is. So when you see another human side of him, I think that's really great. Like, but that he's a very real person. And I think that's why people like him.
Well, you should watch that later. Me and Mario watched it.
Yeah.
Jimmy. But anyway, Mario, how you feeling, buddy? Long time no talk.
Feeling good. Getting ready for this next one. So another day, another fight.
And you had a full camp, right, Mario? You had a full camp this time?
Oh yeah, I knew about this one for like 10 weeks. So yeah, we're ready for it.
It's nice to not have a short notice. Isn't it nice to have enough time to get ready and get into it prepared?
Yeah, especially if you're fighting at this level. Like, you want to make sure you have your game plan set and you're actually, you know, working on that game plan. It's just not like a curveball at you, you know. So it was nice to get in shape and get the flow down.
Do you, when you've been off, have you ever turned down a show? I'm sorry, Matt. Have you ever turned down anything on short notice? I know you've taken a couple of fights, but have you ever said like, look, that's just, I can't do that in that short period of time?
I don't think so. I think if I was healthy, I always took it, you know. Outside the UFC, I took one on 3 days notice. I took Kelleher on 3 weeks notice. Trevin Jones on 2 weeks. Corey Sanhagen on 1 week. So
Damon Blackshear.
I've done, well, that one I had a camp for, but
you had a full camp, okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't for him, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I've done my fair share of short notices for sure.
Well, things are going really well for you. I see a 5-fight win streak, it looks like here. I mean, when things are going so right, what is it? It's just improving on what you're doing, or because if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality. What is it going into a camp each time? Is it catered to that particular opponent, or you're just like, hey man, the last 5 times everything's working great? What is the mentality going in with on this streak?
Yeah, I think it's just the way that my camps have been set up, you know, and they've always been the same. The structure's the same when I'm sparring, when I'm doing mitts, this and that. But as far as really game planning for a specific opponent, I think that's kind of what's changed for me, you know. when you're fighting outside the top 15, you just kind of do not random things, but you're working more on yourself, you know? And then once you get to more specific opponents, I think that's just kind of been the biggest change for me, just working specifics to beat certain people. So
how much notice did you have between Cody and Blesher?
Like 5 days. So it was okay. Yeah.
And had you prepared specifically for Cody, or were you doing things more like, look, you know, like how much did you have to rethink what you were doing when you found out who you're fighting?
I was specifically targeting for Cody, you know, and it's Cody and Blackshear are completely different, you know?
Yep.
So it was just a couple different things, you know, and even then I feel like we didn't even get everything covered. So it was more of like kind of on the fly in the fight, you know? So yeah, taller opponent. He's more of an offensive wrestler, you know? I don't think Cody was going to come in there and try to wrestle me, you know, Blackshear came in and tried to do that. Longer range. Blackshear was big and strong, you know, wiry. But, you know, just had to make the adjustments in the cage, and that was pretty much it, you know.
Now, Ricky Simon, like, he you know, he had a tough outing on his last one.
Yeah.
Yadong, but he was on a tear before that, and he's a bit of a wild man. Like, sometimes do you look to just – I mean, I don't want to get too into game plan, but it's – I know he's listed here, it says striker, but he's a well-rounded dude. You know, I mean, sometimes you look at a guy like that, is it more like we just got to slow this guy down, or do we just know it's going to be a fucking scramble fest from the opening bell? Like, you know what I mean? Or do you let your coaches say, look, this is where we capitalize on? Are you a big tape guy?
No, I definitely watch some tape. You know, the closer you get, that's kind of what you have to do. You know, I don't know why they labeled him a striker. I would label him like a grindy wrestler. You know, if he gets a hold of you, he's holding on and he's trying to take you into some deep water. So obviously we're going to try to avoid his strengths, but at the same time, I'm not afraid to go on the mat with him. You know, if we can go on the mat, standing up in the clinch, wherever we're going to go, I'm just going to make sure it's unsafe for him. So, hopefully if we could get him out in the first round, that'd be nice, you know, cause a 3-round with Ricky, That's going to be a spiritual, I could say.
Yeah, man, I remember when he fought Marab, it was just like a whirlwind. It looked like two Tasmanian devils. And like when you see all that, like, holy shit, man, slow this thing down. I'm getting tired. Yeah.
And that was such an unsatisfying ending to that fight, too. Marab and Ricky Simon. That was, but I'm sure for Ricky, it was a very satisfying. Yeah, I should just say the way, not just because I like Marab, but I also, just as a fan, I was like, I didn't really like that.
Yeah, shit, man. It was a barn burner, though.
Yep.
Hey, Mario, when we're not fighting, what are we doing? What do we like to do? Are you a married guy?
Married, have a kid, little nice. 5-year-old daughter.
Beautiful.
And I don't know, you know how that is, you know, so I'm not out partying, doing anything crazy. It's just mainly family. And I know it sounds like, you know, the cliche thing to say is like, oh, I'm always in the gym, this and that. Like, I really enjoy being in the gym, you know, helping out the guys, getting ready for their fights, staying in shape, and really focusing on getting better without like the thought of having a fight in my mind. You know, when I have a fight, I'm just focused on being in shape and working on certain things. And then when I'm out of camp, like, I could just be free, you know, and try new things and work on different things and try to apply them and grow. So I really love doing that outside of camp.
Do you always kind of stay ready just in case something comes? Because you've had short notice. Do you always kind of and say, in case something great comes along, you want to be close?
Yeah, I definitely stay close. You know, I think if I had 3 weeks, I could definitely get into shape and get the game plan kind of down. But like I said, being in the gym, I'm going to be pretty much in shape, at least 80%, you know, 70, 80%. So, but it's not like I'm trying to stay in shape. It's just a product of being at the gym and having fun there. So,
but is that your only hobby? Like even when you're not training, if you're at the gym and you're helping somebody, is there anything you do to get away from it? Cause like, no matter what you're doing, you have to kind of step away once in a while. It seemed like just to reset. No,
it's hard. I'll try to find things to do here and there, like go hiking or these little things. But honestly, training takes up most of my day. I go there twice a day, and there's only a couple days where it's a half day, So, and on those half days, I'll go do, you know, the things I need to get done, groceries, like get my hair cut, you know. Yeah. It's a pretty boring lifestyle, I should say. But, you know, I just love being in the gym. That's pretty much it, man.
It's what you do. It's satisfying. Do you think one day, do you like teaching as well or no?
Oh, yeah. Once I'm at a camp, you know, coach has me like fill in spots, you know, hey, can you fill in this spot? Or I'll be his, you know, pretty much number one pick. And I enjoy doing that, you know. It's taken me a little bit, you know, trying to work a crowd per se. It's been pretty fun trying to teach those guys.
What's your least favorite part of training? Is there anything you do that you'll do, but you dread the most?
Something I'll do that I don't like, but I'll do it like I love it, is probably the conditioning. You know, once we get closer, it's, you know, you don't want to ever go into a fight being out of shape. That's one of my worst fears, you know, being out of shape and not being able to protect yourself because you're gassed. You know, that's one of my worst fears. You know, I don't care if I get knocked out, submitted. It is what it is. But if the conditioning is on me 100%, you know, so that's something I work on. I don't like it. It, you know, you go through a lot of mental battles. I love getting it done.
Now back to the teaching. Do you think one day, like many years from now, because you're in your prime, you think maybe when you're retired from fighting, you'd like to open a school, that type of thing, or teach where you're at, or you think you'd get into something else when you're done type of thing? Or just
That's something we've definitely talked about with my wife, you know, moving back to our hometown. It's a small town, like 10,000 people. And opening up a jiu-jitsu MMA gym there, you know, and she's looking to be a personal trainer. So we're just trying to collab, like, you know, jiu-jitsu, maybe a fitness kind of like deal there. So that's just all future planning. But I would love to go back and teach those guys. You know, that's where I'm from. I would love to give back to those guys.
Where is that?
Winnemucca, Nevada. It's a small town, like two hours away from Oregon. So right next to the border. Nowhere near Vegas.
Closer to Reno, right?
Exactly. 2 hours east of Reno.
So I think the idea of an MMA or jiu-jitsu gym and a gym is really smart, because it's like you want to – very rarely do you find both functional in the same place, but it would be so nice just to go to the other half of the gym and actually work out with weights or do cardio that isn't MMA related. And I don't see a lot of that around. I mean, it's either an MMA gym or it's like Equinox.
Yeah, and that's what I like about our gym, the MMA lab. You know, we have everything in there, striking, jiu-jitsu. We have little wrestling classes, and then we have the weight room, and it's all in one spot. You know, I've seen other guys, you know, on Instagram training, especially in California, they'll go do their jiu-jitsu at this gym. They'll go do their strength conditioning at this gym, striking with this gym. So I like to have it all in-house. It just makes it a lot easier.
Hey, your teammate, your car closed at a nice night the other night.
Oh, you look like Rampage Jackson out there, huh?
Hey, dude. I mean, and that I'll tell you, listen, hindsight's 20/20. But Jimmy's a new jiu-jitsu man now. I don't know if you know about that, Mario. He took up jiu-jitsu. He's training at the world famous Enzo Gracie Academy in Manhattan. So, Jimmy, you should know, if you ever have a submission on, triangle, arm lock, anything from the guard, you'd have to. It's a gamble. You hold on to it when there's somebody lifts you up. It's a gamble that you usually don't want to take.
Right.
Look at Joe Selecki. He had a tight arm lock on Dracar Close, and he got right on his temple. When you're getting lifted up, you grab under a leg, and it can only not even bring you up a foot off the floor. You're not going to get knocked out. But listen, like what Mario brought up, when he said Rampage Jackson, there's a fight with I don't know if you ever seen this.
Oh, Jim. Sure.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Versus Ricardo Arona. Okay. I'm telling the audience then. They should watch that, because that'll give you a lesson. Or even what happened with Dracar Close and Joe Selecki. On the bottom, you don't want to get lifted up, man. Imagine that on the concrete. We're not.
What was the other fight that night? That happened two fights in a row, I think. What was the other fight that happened? The second fight that happened.
It was right after that. I think it was like almost the same. I think it was a triangle, actually. He got lifted.
Man.
But back-to-back slam knockouts.
It was.
Yeah, it was very bizarre to see that. I don't think it's ever happened like that before. Definitely not back-to-back. And I can't remember what the other fight was.
Yeah, that's a laces out moment right there.
I guess.
Tough, man. That's why we watch.
Hey, but, do you is your gym, Mario, is it all pros in your gym, or do you have people who are just training and learning at your gym too?
Yeah, we have like just like, I guess I would say like the general population kind of jujitsu classes and their striking classes. Then we have our pro fight team, but there's amateurs on the team as well. You know, building up to be professionals. So we kind of separate it like that.
When someone's holding on the way Selecki did, is it because they're hoping to get the submission before they're lifted high enough? They're hoping that, or is it just an instinct that you're hanging on? What are you thinking when you're holding on and you're being lifted and you know he's going to slam you?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't even know why he held on. You know, is Selecki a black belt?
Oh, he's a very good black
belt. Yeah. I don't know. Personally, and from what I've been taught, yeah, it's just a risk you don't want to take. You know, you don't want to be slammed on your head. You know, when coach talks about these things, he talks about them in real life scenarios. You know, what if you did an arm bar on someone in the street and he slammed you on the concrete? You know, you don't want to do that. So we've always been told to hold the leg, or if the arm slips out, you could slip into a leg lock. You know, you're holding onto the leg if they fully stand up, you know. But yeah, that was a risk that he was willing to take, and yeah, he kind of paid for it.
And sometimes, Jimmy, you fight the way you train and the guy gets to their feet and you have the arm lock on. Sometimes they're used to just like, all right, he's going to tap now. They're just used to that. Like now, normally he taps. Well, now he's not tapping because he's used to – he will take a popped arm to try to slam you down, which is –
For a win, yeah.
In class, they're not going to do that. So it could be just a little brain fart with that. Like, oh, usually they're letting go now. Usually they're tapping now and they don't tap. And next thing you know, you're going for a ride, you know? Ooh. Exciting game we play, Jimmy.
Yeah, it really is. Well, look, Mario, good luck, man. This is a great fight between you and Ricky, number 13. Again, I'm glad you've had time for a full camp. And I'm looking to see how he bounces back, too, because he was on a tear and then he had that Song Yadong loss. I'm interested to see how Ricky looks in this fight. So, you know, you're going to get a very motivated Ricky Simone, I'm sure you know.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be fireworks, for sure.
All right, what's on your forearms? I'm sorry. Give me your forearms.
Says Battle Born. Nevada State motto.
Battle Born, bro. That's how we're ending this thing.
Yeah, very nice.
Hey, best of luck, bro.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Have a great fight, man. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mario.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are golden retrievers. Which means Tubi is more popular than using meat-flavored toothpaste. More popular than never figuring out what WALK spells. More popular than kicking your leg when a human rubs your belly just right. Tubi, it's more popular than golden retrievers. See you in there.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Yeah, Matt, that's going to be a great fight between him and Simone. I'm always interested to see how a guy like that bounces back after a fight, after a loss.
Yeah, man. Listen, and I thought he's got a good dance partner in that one.
Hey, he sure Jerry, does. Can I make a quick announcement, Matt, before I forget? I every Wednesday, I'm normally at the Fat Black Pussycat.
Oh,
I'm not there tonight. Or next week. Tonight I'm taping something. It just was very last minute. So I know that a lot of times I'll announce here that I'm there, but tonight I am not there. So wait 2 weeks and go see me.
Great, Jimmy.
Thank you.
How's your new show going with your wife, by the way?
It's fun. It's on, thank you, Matt. It's YouTube, Nikki and Jim NYC. It's not even a show. We're just putting up clips of our life. And this tomorrow the clip goes up of us on the Burt Cruise. And I'm going to do one of my, we did the Burt Cruise in October. And then I think my colonoscopy is going to be coming up soon. I went and got that done. And that was, I'm used to being sober. I'm not used to being on propofol. So when I come out of propofol, I don't know how to handle being high. It's a very strange feeling.
I do. Well, listen.
You definitely do.
Jimmy, I like to have a good time. Jimmy. So I want you to watch the thing with Sean Strickland, because it's very emotional.
And I really like him. So, I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy to hear that. Like, that doesn't, like, I like seeing a guy like let loose like that and just be okay being that way.
Yeah. You know what? It was so, and I think he even mentioned on his social media that Theo said, like, look, we don't have to air a type of thing. I like that Theo Vaughn.
I like him too. He's a good dude.
I like his stuff. But like he was saying that they don't have to air a type of thing. And can I just say that Theo Vaughn did the right thing?
Yeah.
Because then when he was breaking down, he was like, look, I could just sit here and I'm sorry, but he was getting like a little emotional too. And it was nice. Me, this is what happens. If that was on our podcast and we were in studio, I might be because he's always talking about murdering someone. George,
yeah.
He might've tried to murder me. I might've tried to hug him. And I don't think you should do that. I don't think he might be that guy that you just go up and hug.
No.
So me, I might've approached him like let's picture of Sean. And listen, I'm not at that. I liked Sean Strickland before it was cool to like Sean Strickland.
Sure.
Say that. You know that.
Well, I also liked him. He was on our show.
What?
Yes. We both liked him.
Yes, we both liked him.
Don't make it look like I didn't like him. I love Sean Strickland.
I know you liked him. Listen, my point is this. I might have got myself in trouble. I might have tried to hug him. I could see him getting emotional and me being like, it'd be like a scene out of Good Will Hunting. And I'd be Robin Williams and he'd be Matt Damon. And I would go, and Matt Damon in that movie had a tough childhood of getting abused. And Robin Williams goes up and this is what I'd go, it's not your fault. And he go, yeah, I know. And I go, I get a little closer. I go, it's not your fault. And he go, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then I get a little closer. It's John, it's not your fault. And then he'd go, don't fuck with me, Matt. Don't you fuck with me. And then it'd be a little bit of a different version.
Yeah.
Because in that one, he gave him a little push and he said, don't. And then they ended up hugging. And he started getting emotional. But I think Sean would be like, don't you fuck with me, Matt. Not you. I go, Sean, it's not you. And then he'd be like, I'm going to take you in the desert and I'm going to murder you. And go that route because he kind of gets insane.
Yeah.
I didn't, and it wouldn't go well because I'm a hugger. Jimmy,
yeah.
I'm a hugger. I'll risk my life to hug him.
I'm okay. Like I've had a few really alpha guys on the radio over the years.
Yes.
I'm very close to breaking down. Wait, and usually it's somebody else.
Hold on a second. Hold on. One goddamn second, you son of a bitch.
What?
No, don't want me.
No, it's not what you think. It's not what you think.
It's exactly what I think.
Nope.
And this is what you do, Jimmy, because it's not funny. You know what you're doing right now?
What?
You're being a little, listen to me. I know what you're doing. You're being a bit of a wise ass. Cause
no.
I had friends, pal. How dare you?
I think, no, you're wrong. I promise you. I'm not thinking of you.
You're I'm not talking about. I'm sorry. You're thinking of Sam Roberts.
No, the guy I'm thinking of who almost cried on the show. No. It was, we had Sugar Ray Leonard on many years ago on Opie and Anthony.
All right.
And he was really like, he got to that place. Yes. We were talking about something where you could see that he was about to go over. Yes. And look, I let someone do that when they do it because it's a real moment. But I love Anthony, but he got uncomfortable and he's like, oh, like he said something that like kind of broke it a little bit and allowed.
I can't see Anthony being emotional like that. I think he's
no. Anthony is not good with emotions at all, which is very funny. But yeah, no, I've seen that before. And I always allow it to happen because it's human. It's a you know.
Jimmy, we did over 700 episodes, yeah. So I'm sure in the archives I came in sniffling before over things, and it happens. You know,
I've cried on the radio probably two or three times in 20 years, just a death that I wasn't expecting. One time early in the morning, we heard a clip that just hit me wrong. Like, you know, early in the morning, I'm an emotional guy because I'm still half asleep. So I'm very fucking prone to blubbering early in the morning if something happens. So yeah, it happens, man. It's a part of being a person. And I respect a guy like that who shows it a lot more than somebody who pretends that it's weak to show. Like, you know, I love when guys are comfortable being themselves like that.
Yeah, man. I just thought it was a very real moment. And I think it's going to be weird. I don't hate to say it. It's just a weird, but I think he's going to get so many more fans because of it.
Oh, 100%. Because look, when you're a guy who says whatever you want, sometimes people are like, hey, does this person have compassion? Or they just don't know you. And then they see that side of you and they're like, oh, okay.
I think people got to relax with all the fucking shit talk, man. It's all, you know, when you, everything from going for people's wives, talking about people's childhood. So now, I mean, you see people like using the thing with Sean Strickland, like even before this, about his childhood. It's like, guys, are you just unwitty? You going that route? You just, you know, I don't know. And then this piece of shit, like a guy we don't talk about that lost that fight versus Leon Edwards. I just think that there's like guys that just go so low and the sport gets really disgusting like that. I don't like
even that. Strickland went after him for that. He said he was a piece of shit for doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was a piece of shit for doing
that. Yeah, I agree.
This is a piece of shit. The guy who fought Leon Edwards. That guy, Leon Edwards is not. Leon Edwards.
No, Leon's a great guy.
Yeah, he is great.
But it's got to be weird, though, Matt. Like, when you're a bad guy, like, again, we can, Connor's a kind of a bad guy, Chael. But if you're going to be that guy, there has to be something about you that people also connect to and like. There, you know what I mean? There has to be something that people go, okay, this guy is somehow relatable. And usually when you lose, that's when it is. But if you can't lose with grace at all, or if people don't like you even when you lose, you know, after a while, just watching you fight because you have a big mouth is not going to be enough.
They had a thing with that guy was on Fox News, and the anchor is like, well, I haven't seen the fight, but according to this, you landed more strikes. And he was blaming it on the judges' scorecards because they know that idiot was pro Donald Trump. So he's using that platform on Fox to be like, everybody, even Donald Trump would agree that he lost that fight. And Dana White's, is Dana White? Is he getting influenced? What is that?
Dana doesn't like that you're friends with Trump.
Exactly. Dana was thinking that he looked old in that fight. You know, some guys get old overnight.
Yeah.
It's so great that he's never going to see a touchdown.
A belt.
You know?
I also don't believe it, Matt. I don't believe it's so weird when you hear somebody who feels like a real person, and then when you hear a person who feels like this is all like they're acting in a play, and I don't even believe it. Like, it doesn't make me angry because I don't believe it. I the annoyance I get is as the lack of believability to what they're saying. Like, oh, come on, it's embarrassing.
Hey,
yes,
that's movie minute.
Foot good.
That's me. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm
good. No, why would you be sorry? That's really pleasant to look at. Go ahead. We got
that. I like that emoji, but
yes.
Anyway, Jimmy, I seen the other day The Killer. You would like this. With Michael, is it Fassbender?
Fassbender. He was in 10 Years a Slave. He's very good.
And he was also in
12 Years a Slave.
Magneto.
Okay.
I played a young Magneto. But, not a fun movie, but an interesting movie. He plays a hitman. And just to give you the quick synopsis. Is that right?
Well, how did you say it? I'm sorry. I think you said it right.
Quick synopsis?
Yeah.
No, you're a fucking
dope. No, not, you said it right.
Anyway, I don't think I did. But my point is this. No, I'm not saying it again. I know I'm not. I know I'm special. Stop it. Stop it. You're being a bully. Wow. Jimmy, he plays a hitman. And he's a hitman. And it's one of those where you hear him talking to himself about being disciplined. And it's one of those inner dialogue stuff.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A lot of that going on throughout the movie. My Jedi Zach Fala, I was talking to him and he's like, that kind of took me out of it. I go, dude, no, go back into it. Good. Anyway, so when I watch, so he's showing that you have to be patient and he's looking to do this hit. When he goes to do the hit, just so you, I don't want to give too much away. It doesn't go well. It's something gets botched. So now it's like a botch. He fucked up the job. And now so right after that, it's just, all right, now he's got to do? He's got to get to the airport. He's got to, who is that guy? Is that guy following him? All right, you know what? I'm going to cancel the flight. I'm going to do that. It's like everything he does after that. And then because he botched that, there's repercussions because you can't just botch a job. Now I thought it was interesting. I liked it. The Killer.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
Now you have. And a fight scene, Jimmy. There's a nice fight scene in this movie where, I mean, this dude, he was like getting his ass. It was one of those more realistic ones. Where it's like, oh man, this is, I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie, you know? But, and also Rebel Moon, I told you about that. You never seen it yet.
No.
Don't say it like that.
No, but I'm saying I haven't really seen anything, Matt. I watched that Julia Roberts movie and I was so annoyed by it.
Why? Jimmy.
It was the dumb deer all coming looking. Oh, that movie stunk.
But picture you didn't know anything about it.
Awful. I forget his name. The actor, the lead actor was very good. He won an Oscar, I think, for Moonlight. He's really great.
Julia Roberts was great in that.
No, I didn't like
the. I gotta get away from people. I hate.
It was too on the nose. The writing annoyed me. Whenever I can smell the writer through the corny monologues, the social commentary, I'm like, shut up. It just annoys me. It's not done well.
Jimmy, name the last movie that you liked, please.
I don't remember the last movie I saw. To be honest, that's not really.
Name a movie you like. Don't just say The
Godfather. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a masterpiece.
Wow.
I love that.
Age. Someone showed his age.
Oh, of course. I'm old.
Nobody was born when that fucking flew out of the theaters.
Afternoon was a masterpiece.
Stop bringing up old ass shit. Our jobs are at stake.
I know, but I haven't seen anything recently. I don't watch a lot of movies.
Out there, please.
Huh?
Relate to the kids out there.
Okay, Avatar 2. Went in to see. I didn't think I'd like it because I watched the whole thing. I was like, I'm going to watch it just to see the effects. And I stayed for the whole movie. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. Enjoyed that.
Got them all back.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that Avatar. I was surprised I liked that.
I have a question.
James Cameron, he's not banging it out. He's not hitting it out of the field anymore lately.
No, he's not. He's too busy exploring the ocean.
When he came out, Jimmy, that last Terminator movie he had, I got all excited. Sarah Connor's coming back. What a piece of shit that was. But anyway.
And now we're getting a word from Jake that Aspinall is looking for an opponent. He does not want to be inactive. He's willing to fight the Blades, Gerald Almeida winner, March the 9th. I want to see Aspinall fighting anyone. I have a jiu-jitsu question for you before I forget.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, have you ever been going for a head and arm choke and your opponent turns away from you, so you try to bring your layup and do a collar, but he keeps turning, so you pull it into a guillotine, and you fall back in the guillotine, and you try to throw the leg over, but then he rolls, and he's on his back, and you're on top of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you're guillotine choking.
Head and arm choke, like when you're on top from mount or cross-side?
Yeah, but then he starts turning away, so I lose that choke, so I'm going for bringing my leg up and going for a collar choke, but then he keeps turning onto his stomach almost, so I grab him in a guillotine, and then I fall back, wrap the leg around, but he turns out of it, and when he rolls out of it, I kind of roll with him, but now I'm on my, I'm on my stomach and he's on his back. I don't know how to finish that choke.
I'm trying to think how you're going for a guillotine from the headlong choke. I'm trying to think how that's happening when he turns away.
If he turns away and I pull my leg up, and I wrap my arm under to grab the collar and then try the choke like that.
You know what, Jimmy? I'm one of those guys. I got to.
You have to see it? Okay, yeah. I'm kind of curious.
I do that a lot with my wife. She's really good at some of these strangles, you know? She's got her first MMA fight coming up, my wife.
Yeah.
Right at 40 years old, I'll tell you, it's February 3rd. It's going to be on Long Island. And
are you going to it?
Why you got to be silly? Yo, I think I'm going to be in Canada. We might be doing another looking for a fight over there.
Oh, that's not where, Montreal?
February 20th. No, not Montreal. Thanks for bringing up me getting my ass kicked in Montreal. I
wanted you to go back there and have a victory.
No, wow. Jimmy. I'm going to Toronto.
Toronto's nice. Go to the CN Tower if you're there. What? The CN Tower in Toronto.
What is that?
I hope Dana have, if you guys are doing anything, you should do the edge walk.
Jimmy, don't.
No. I'm dead serious. The edge walk in Toronto.
What is that? I got kids. What is that?
The edge walk is if you you go to the top of the CN Tower and you can go outside and they strap you in. If Dana couldn't do the jumping off the cliff, he may have a really hard time doing the edge walk because you're kind of hanging over the edge at 1,200 feet over the city.
There was a song about this. On the edge walk. On the edge walk.
That's not the song. That's not the song.
On the edge walk.
That's not the song.
Jimmy, I just like.
That's not the song.
Listen to me. Yes. I just like to have fun. Is that wrong?
No.
On the edge walk. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I got a picture of the edge walk.
Yeah, he's showing us. Or it might be spacewalk, whatever it's called.
I'm getting a little.
Yeah, you're on the top.
Imagine me and Dean Thomas on the edge. On the edge walk.
Would you do this?
I'll shake my little booty on the edge walk.
Where they you hang over the end.
Listen, man.
It's fucking crazy.
I would do it. You know why? I got kids. I got to do it. I swam with sharks. Jimmy, look at me. All right, we've seen that. Listen.
That makes my chest tingle.
Am I looking at me?
No, not you. The edge walk.
Hey,
you make my groin tingle.
Yeah, don't do Jimmy. Jimmy, can I just tell you,
sure.
I hurt my back just sitting on your couch. It's too soft.
I know. I'm getting a new one. My couch sucks.
What a bad, listen, I go there. I go on your terrace. I go, I think shit's in your bed. I'm sorry. I'm a bad.
No, you're right. We're getting a new sofa. You're absolutely right. It's too soft for company.
My back was hurting after sitting on that fucking thing.
It's too soft. It's good to lay back in and just like veg out. But to sit up and be on camera, it's not good. You're right. I don't disagree. We got Marab on Monday, who I'm looking forward to talking to again.
Oh.
Looks like Marab Dvalishvili will be joining us on Monday.
Well, that sounds like fun. He's got a big fight coming up.
Yes, he does.
Listen, Jimmy, I had a lot of fun with you.
Always have fun. And thank you to Mario Bautista. Good luck against Ricky Simone on the 13th. We're back next week. Anyway, we'll talk about that on Monday.
Oh, man, that's right, Jimmy. Listen, enjoy your weekend. And did you have a nice New Year's, though?
Did you? I did. We stayed. I just went to the Comedy Cellar, worked. You can see me on Gutfeld tonight. That's why I'm not doing it. I got a call to do Gutfeld. So I'll be on there tonight if you want to see how fat I am on TV, even though I'm trying to
lose. My father likes watching you on Gutfeld.
Tell him thank you very much. He has very good taste.
Papa Sarah will know that. All right, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we'll talk to you Wednesday.
Did it like that? Too late now. Bye, Jimmy. Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.